And welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, episode 007.
I forgot the James Bond theme. Sorry, I was going to hum it and then I forgot.
The insert James Bond theme here. We're back with...
me. It's Xander. Hello.
And plug yourself again.
Landa Whispers on Twitter and Instagram because it's very difficult to find on YouTube, but it also exists there. So if you want it, you can find it.
Getting your name down is always tricky. That's why I went with the Talosov route, but yeah. It was like, yes, this name makes no sense.
I mean, see, the problem with mine is it works, but YouTube autocorrects it to thinking there's spaces.
That's true. That's annoying.
And you just have to manually say, no, there's no spaces. And then YouTube's like, oh, this guy. It instantly shows up.
Yes.
It's just YouTube searches wrong.
Right. Well, and it's like, it's frustrating because I tell you to do it again, even though you've done it before.
Yeah.
So, if people have heard it once, though, we've discovered... bizarrely on YouTube, I cannot trust people to just be smart enough anymore. Or ever, I guess. Because now I have, obviously, at all times we have the largest audience we've ever had.
This is true.
Which is constantly growing.
It's like Apple.
Yes. It's like, now we're the biggest we've ever been. Now we're the biggest, unless we have like giant sub drops. But that hasn't happened in a while. But it's like, there will still be people who comment like, do you have an Instagram?
Hmm.
And it's like, do you look... do you, like, are you just like, well, because he doesn't constantly tell me he has an Instagram, therefore there is no Instagram. And it's like,
I never understood the people that just don't, like, you can look.
Yes.
It's easy.
It's very simple. Like, I would never for an ask MKBHD be like, are you on Instagram without first, like, I wonder if he is. And then going on Instagram and searching MKBHD, he's right there. Yeah. First result, verified. So I had to do that for the, what was it, live stream the other day. They were like, are you on Instagram? And I was like, check. Just look. Just be like, Talos of Tech. Yep, right there. It's that easy. And interestingly, second largest social media presence for Talos.
A lot of people like Instagram.
Yeah. It's. What's your favorite social media network?
I don't consider YouTube a social media network.
Why not?
Because it didn't used to be. It just used to be a platform where you would go to watch videos and comment on those videos.
But they were like people's... videos, right? It's like sharing just videos.
But, I mean, do you consider Twitch social media?
For the sake of the question, I'll just say yes.
Okay.
Social media is probably a bad name for it, but let's just call it like...
So for the sake of the question,
yes.
Basically, I would, I guess, then put YouTube as my first. But
that's your favorite?
For browsing other people's content, yes.
Okay.
Like...
that's fair.
For interacting with people, no, it is not the best.
I was going to say, like, the people in charge of YouTube right now are doing a horrible job.
This is true.
There's a lot of things they don't mess up.
I think if we don't count, like, video platforms like that...
okay.
I think I would have to say...
for me, the debate basically goes to Instagram versus Twitter.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I was... I just don't know which one's first. It's Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah.
One of them is better. Mm-hmm. I think they're both very good in their own respects.
They're very different sites. Almost polar opposite sites.
It's like one is very good at posting pictures,
yes,
but can also have words if you want it to.
Whereas
by
one
making
is like,
your own comment. And
yes,
the other is very good with words and can sometimes have pictures if you want. So
as
like,
long as they're like 16 by 9 and then they're in the preview window. But if you want to see it at its full ratio, you have to tap on it. So mm-hmm. It's like photos, videos on Twitter is definitely like an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
And then with media news sites, it's all about reposting.
Yes.
That's all Twitter is. It's just like, here's our website article. Go read it here. And it's like, no. Because every time you do that, they just like write one paragraph about the headline, which explains everything anyway.
Yeah.
And then that's it. It's like, okay, we got you to our
website. And then
there's
like a, okay, scroll down for more. And then you read it and you're like, well, that wasn't interesting.
Yeah. And you had to go through like three ads.
Yeah.
So that's why like, while it may feel like we're just not interested in reading things, when you're just scrolling on Twitter and you're reading headlines but not the articles, you're getting the same amount of information.
Pretty much.
Usually when you go into the article, there's nothing else to
now,
find.
Sometimes if it's like the headline is posed as a question, then you're like, okay, hey,
mm-hmm,
this is interesting, and then you have to read it.
Yes.
But
occasionally you'll get
that.
So
on the topic of news.
Oh, okay.
Apple News.
Yes.
It used to be my favorite news platform. I would go
Apple News app. Okay.
I would go on Apple News.
Yes.
And I would just that would be what I would use.
Yeah, me too.
Because it
I worked. Used it when I because I know what you're going to talk about. When was this before? This was iOS 9 days.
Mm-hmm.
Back in iOS 9 days, Apple News was my primary news app. You got to choose what articles you like to follow. So if you wanted the Apple News app to just be your tech app, your tech news app, you could do that. If you just wanted it to be gaming stuff, you could do that. But yeah, go ahead. What were you?
So
I know this debate.
iOS 10 comes out,
yes.
And it says, listen, we're going to show you things that you're following. So if you wanted it just tech, you're going to, yes. Hey, we're going to show you just your tech stuff,
mm-hmm.
and breaking news headlines, and this thing,
top
and
stories.
That thing,
yes.
and this and this. Also, they're not in chronological order anymore.
Yeah. It kills it.
It does.
I can't
it's
use it
like
anymore.
Instagram. The main reason I do not like Instagram, the main reason why I would rate Twitter above Instagram,
yeah.
is because Twitter also will not show it to you in chronological order. But there's a mm-hmm. button that you can click in your settings that says, no, show it to me in chronological order.
Right, exactly.
I don't want you to pick out what you think I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. I just want to read it all in
exactly.
the order it happened. Instagram doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
It should.
And, well, that's what was so frustrating about the Apple News app. I guess I don't talk about this very much. Thank you for bringing this up. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but what frustrates me about Apple News is back in iOS 9, I used it constantly because it was like, if there's new things out, if there's been an update, I can just go to that app, go to the top and refresh.
Yeah.
And I will see every new story that's been picked from the genres and people I follow.
And you can favorite and bookmark really easily and
yes.
be like, hey, I want to reference this later. Let me go to my bookmark. There we go.
Right.
Done.
iOS 10 comes along, and they're like, oh, we need to make it even better because people love this. I don't actually know the broad opinion on this. I don't know if it's just a you and me thing or if it's everyone.
Yeah, because nobody really talked about it. Like,
I don't,
even when it
yeah.
first came out, people were like, yeah, it's this thing. All it does is it pulls the website and then just puts it in the app.
Yeah, it's kind of like an automatic reposting station.
Exactly.
But it's good, though, because it's designed by Apple, of course, so it's
mm-hmm.
very fluid. The design looks very nice.
Now it, when you log in, it shows you the weather.
Yep.
Because it's a news, which that makes sense, but they tried to make it too much like a newspaper.
Yeah, and now it's
not.
Like, at the top, we need trending. We need
yeah.
what everyone's reading right now, which, guess what, is always political.
Exactly.
It's always something controversial.
If I want to look at politics, I will go and do it.
I will go on Facebook trending. That's
yeah,
what
there
that,
you go.
That's what
but
that's what politics
if
are for.
If I want to look at what everybody else cares about, I will go on Facebook or Twitter.
Yes.
If I want to look at what I want to look at,
and
I would go to Apple News.
Didn't we find the because what it did was it was auto following you to these top news
true.
Things. But then we thought we could unfollow it. But it didn't work or something? I
they
remember.
They might have updated it now to where it does. I haven't opened it in a very long time.
Well, I remember finding it and being like, oh, look, I can unfollow top stories or I can unfollow trending. But then it doesn't really do it, though. Like,
yeah.
it's still, default built into the app
and
now.
It puts everything into categories now. Where
that
it's like Apple,
killed it for
laptop,
me.
Watch.
Yes.
It's like, no, just put it under one thing,
exactly.
just one stream.
And for tech journalists, it basically ruined it.
Uh-huh.
Because what it meant was, what we like to see was an endless stream. This is what I use Twitter for now.
Mm-hmm.
Is an endless stream of the latest updates.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, on Apple News now, they categorize everything about the iPhone will now be here.
Yeah.
You can scroll through okay, things about the iPhone that was posted an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago, a month ago. They will all be on the same page.
Yeah.
Then you scroll down and again, it's everything iPad. That gets really annoying because it means that at all times, at 100% of the time, half the screen is full of stuff that's 2 months old.
Exactly. It was very annoying. I'm curious to try to go into it now and tinker with it.
Yeah, see if there's a way to fix it.
We can make it the way it used to be.
We're completely unsure about this topic.
If we can.
Yeah, I'll go back.
I loved it.
But we've recently, the other night, you were figuring out that Twitter makes a... What was it? Actual Mac app?
Yes, this is true.
So on
Twitter does have an app on the Mac.
Which was, so not a website, and this isn't a third-party app. This is
it basically says, it basically takes your iPhone mm-hmm. app and then just puts it on your desktop. Like, that's it. It's really small. It's in portrait mode.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also nice because it's very easy to tuck away onto the side without having exactly, to, like, finagle yeah. it and be like, okay, let me drag and let me move this. It's just, like, you open it. It's like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And that's, like, verified on the App Store.
Yes.
That's it's not, like,
official
like a,
by okay. Twitter.
That's yeah. not some DMG download.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
It worked.
I would give credit to Twitter for optimization because...
It has the night mode as well, so if you want the dark blue cool. setup.
Yeah. I mean, what's frustrating about it is I never used Twitter for, like, the longest time.
Yeah.
And then when I started doing the YouTube stuff and I was like, hey, there's a way to, like, interact with fans.
Yeah.
That's when I started doing it. But before then, like, I never used it on my personal Twitter, which I've never logged into now. But, like, mm-hmm. back then I didn't find a use for it. But as a creator now, it's such an efficient way to, like, interact
Talk
with lots
people.
Of people. Yeah.
yeah. It works very well.
And they get the split view done, like, immediately. As soon as Apple had the split view multitasking come out,
Twitter
was
like, no, listen, this is so easy.
Yeah. In fact, I think we joke about this, like, Twitter can't really be used full screen.
Not on the iPad, no.
On the iPad.
I remember
if you
the
use
12.9
Twitter,
Pro.
Yeah. I remember.
Was the worst. There was so much empty space.
Yeah, like, Twitter did not try to, like, make use of the extra iPad Pro space. They were like, no, it's portrait mode. If you turn your iPad in landscape, there is going to be, like, 2/3 of the screen that is just white.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yep.
And it's like, no, you use Twitter in split screen. They know that. They know
they're kind of... Because they know on the iPad you're not going to be like, well, it's time to use Twitter now. Like, you're not going to do that. You're going to be like, hey, let me text somebody and use Twitter. Let me read and use Twitter or watch this and use Twitter. You know,
I just like your attitude of, well, time to start the Twitter. And you're like just sitting down. Like, but I mean, you do that with like YouTube.
Yeah, but that's
YouTube,
different.
Yeah, you like you take up the whole app and you're like, okay, take up my whole display. Let's watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Twitter, it's like, no, you're a little side thing.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. But yeah, I do think I like Instagram a lot. And I think it's growing a lot also. I think Instagram is one of the most popular because what I do notice is that there are several Instagram accounts with literally over 100 million followers.
People like to look at pictures.
Yeah, and you notice YouTube. Like,
you don't have to read anything. You're just like, oh, that looks nice.
It's not a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can just scroll. And then with Instagram, I think... yeah, like, you have many, many people over 100 million.
Mm-hmm.
On YouTube, the highest channel by far is 60 million with PewDiePie.
This is true.
And there's barely anyone close to that. So
yeah.
I just think it's, like, less... they're both very large.
What is the second...
The thing is, I haven't looked at the chart in a while. It changes a lot.
Okay.
The last time I looked, it was, like, half of the top 10 were foreign YouTubers
mm-hmm.
who I did not know very well. So I was like, Who is that?
Yeah.
But a lot of them are Vivos, so...
okay.
When
yeah.
I almost don't count that, though.
I don't think that should count.
I don't think that should...
They're
yeah.
a creator, but, like, they're not a YouTube creator. They're just
they're not making this for YouTube.
Stuff on YouTube, yeah.
They upload their music to... As you'll find out, like, the top 5 most viewed videos on YouTube...
Are music videos.
But the thing is, I don't think that's people watching the video.
They watch
they
it once, and then they listen to it.
Yeah, they don't want to pay for the song.
Yeah.
So they go on YouTube and turn it on in the background.
Which is something... Interesting, I've noted. Disney,
mm-hmm.
whenever a new soundtrack comes out, like when Last Jedi came out,
yeah,
Disney uploaded every single song on YouTube.
Oh, they did?
They did.
Did they and have like a Moana channel?
Nope, it's just under the Disney channel. And it's just
that's like encouraging.
It's the entire Last Jedi soundtrack. But Warner Brothers does this too.
Yeah.
I remember when Batman v Superman came out.
That's right.
They had the deluxe like collector's edition with the bonus tracks.
Correct, yeah.
They had that on YouTube. It was just there.
And you can just get
you
it.
You can
yeah.
just listen to it. No charge, nothing.
It's like they're trying all their best to stop piracy, but at the same time
they're
it's
like
you guys
giving
know
it to you.
How many like YouTube downloader sites there are. Like that is the easiest way to get music without paying for it.
So
oh, no.
Last night
the way he said so
I quote unquote went to bed at around 1 in the morning, 1:30, okay. Right? Somewhere around there.
I'm curious where this is going.
Actually, no, it was about 2.
Okay.
It was about 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I have the Google Mini in my room.
Oh, yeah, you got that.
The
Home Mini.
The Home Mini, yes.
Yes.
And I was like, I want to listen to the Halo 3 ODST soundtrack.
As you do, like, every night.
Every night, because it's a very nice soundtrack.
17 years.
It works very, it's just, it's calm, it's simple, mm-hmm. and it just, it helps me fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, when you go Google, play the Halo 3 ODST official soundtrack on mm-hmm. Google Play Music, it will say, playing this on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no. That. That's yeah. not what I asked you. I asked you to play it on Google Play Music. Yeah. So I word it differently. And I mm-hmm. say, play my playlist. Yes. I made put it in a playlist thinking maybe that would help it work better.
Mm-hmm.
So I go, play my playlist, Halo 3 ODST on Google Play Music. And it says, shuffling the artist, Martin O'Donnell on Google Play Music. And I was like, that is not what I asked.
Yeah.
I didn't want you to shuffle all of his music. I just mm-hmm. wanted that album. Please?
It's like the intelligence of the Google Assistant almost becomes a problem. Because now, whenever you tell the Google speaker to do something, it's not just searching Play Music.
No.
It is searching Play Music and YouTube.
And YouTube Music.
And YouTube Music.
So then I went, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I found a video that is one song, which is a very relaxing song from the soundtrack,
mm-hmm.
with constant rain in the background. And it's okay. 8 hours long. And I was mm-hmm. like, hey, that's really cool. Yeah. I like rain, and I like piano, so rain yes, and piano,
it's peaceful.
While also being Halo-themed, that's like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I find the video on my phone, and I go, Google, play, quote, the entire title of the video by this person on YouTube, and it says, playing the Halo 3 ODST official soundtrack on Google Play Music.
Oh,
and I was like, went back to are play you music. Kidding me? You did what I originally wanted you to do. 40 minutes ago, I spent a good hour sitting there trying to figure out how to do
oh,
this.
Oh, God.
I just gave up. I unplugged just, it.
Really?
Because it wouldn't stop. I was.
You
like,
were, like, excited for that.
I was like, Google, stop. And it was just like,
I remember. No. You were, like, looking forward to using that.
See, the thing is, I was like, I'm going to start setting up shortcuts. Because
yes.
I could, if I went, Google, mm-hmm. good night, it would say, okay, when you say good night, I need to play this thing. And I was like,
yeah.
if I can get it to where it always will play that thing when mm-hmm. I say a certain phrase, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to do it. But when it's quiet and it's dark and I'm speaking quietly
yeah,
in a
yeah.
lower voice, my voice sounds a lot like Nick's voice. Our Nick. Oh. Talos of Nick.
Yes.
And Talos of Nick under
Nick Evans.
Talos of Nick's account.
Okay. His first name isn't Talos. Just so you know. But
On the Google Home app, mm-hmm. he is also logged into that speaker under his account.
Okay. Yeah,
under
yeah.
his account, when you say goodnight, he has no shortcut set up. So Google says, sweet dreams. And I'm like, listen, you. It went, sweet dreams, Nicholas. And I was like, that's not me.
I just imagine you working like in the app for like hours.
I was.
Trying to program everything. And you're like, okay, so now when I say goodnight, it'll do A, B, C, D. It'll activate all these things. And then you go, hey, Google, good night. Sweet dreams. Come on! After
no,
all this time.
Seriously. And I was like, okay, so maybe if I word it differently. And so I was like, Google, it's Halo time. And it went, I don't know what that means. I was like, I literally just set this up in the app 2 minutes ago.
It's Halo time. And it'll be like, well, you used an apostrophe, which is spoken differently than using without an apostrophe.
So I tried everything for an hour. I did not actually go to sleep until
wow.
3 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
I was just trying to get the Google Assistant to play one album.
So
is it that difficult?
Yeah.
I've done it before. We've mm-hmm. been in the lobby, and I was like,
yeah.
Google, play the Halo 3 ODST soundtrack. And it's like, here you go.
Most
you
of the
it.
Time, it's pretty, it
and
gets
then,
a lot
like,
of stuff. Yeah.
Last night, it was like, oh, so you want this one song under this one YouTube video
mm-hmm.
that is not a high quality on YouTube? And it's like, no, I want the whole album.
I've also noticed that if you play something off of YouTube, for whatever reason, it must not load the video at a high resolution
mm-mm.
or something. Because if we're like, play this on YouTube, the audio will sound really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not far away from the router.
No.
Like, the Wi-Fi's good. Like
I'm like, yeah.
We've got our full download speed and upload speed. Everything's working fine. And it'll still be like, you know how YouTube videos sound when they're at like 240p or lower?
Yeah.
The bit rate of the audio kind of gets, it sounds like that.
It's so bad.
And I'm like, I know you don't have a display, but still, you should like load the 720p version of it or something and just, I don't know exactly how that works.
Then I was like, okay, so it's not working with Google Play Music.
Mm-hmm.
So if I download the YouTube Music app.
Oh, no.
Make a playlist in YouTube Music.
That app is so weird.
Actually, that app has gotten significantly better.
Good.
You know how we used to.
It was horrible.
You know how they had the offline download thing and you were like, oh, I want this song. And it's like, great, we'll find other songs like that and download
those. It literally downloaded random songs.
They changed that.
Good.
You can now download albums and songs.
That's good.
And if you want, you can do the mixtape where they select what they think you'll like. But you can also just be like, no, I just want that one song. And it's like, here you go.
But I also heard they're merging YouTube Music with Google Play Music.
That would be kind of nice.
It's like, so well, then, why didn't they do that in the first place?
I was like, oh, this song is on YouTube, mm-hmm. and it is music.
Yes.
So I'll find it on YouTube Music. So I created the playlist in YouTube.
Oh, my God.
Went to my account in YouTube Music, and it was like, this video is not available on YouTube Music. We're going to go to the next possible video. And it just went to some other Halo soundtrack. And I was like, it would not do it.
The thing is annoyingly smart and dumb at the same time.
Like, I asked it, play this playlist. Would not. And I was like, maybe if I ask it to play the other playlist I made, which is not, like, relaxing music. It's NF. Yeah. And I was like, play my playlist, NF. And it's like, playing your playlist, NF, on Google Play Music. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so you got that, which is two letters. Like,
yes.
Okay, you understand what that means. It didn't get it.
I like how the hardcore viewers of Talos have watched the opinion of the Google ecosystem devices being like, I don't really like this thing. And then everyone was like, Drew, you're not using it right. You have to do like the smart home stuff. You have to get lots of them in everywhere. And this speaker is cheap. So you're reviewing it and saying it's bad, but it's cheap. So, okay, I get lots of the minis. I get the most expensive, bestest,
yep.
Little Caesars patent, most bestest sounding smart speaker there is, the Google Home Max. We deck everything out. I review them and go, hey, you know what? I think Google did this speaker thing correctly. Like, you can have an Apple ecosystem and have it work with Google speakers very well.
As soon as that video gets uploaded, it just sucks.
All of them start getting worse. They start going off when we don't say,
hey, we were Google. Watching Sherlock, and it just, like, it would just go bloop. It's like, no.
What? No one in this said Google at any point. Like, the sentence. And then the annoying thing is, like, you'll recreate the sentence, and it won't do it. It
doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
And then also now, which is very annoying because I also can't recreate it, is sometimes I'll say, hey, Google, and it won't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, okay, come on. What are you doing?
And then you whisper it at the same volume. You're like, hey, Xander, look at this. Works just fine.
Yeah. And then it'll work fine randomly. So the new update with the Google products is that they must have issued some firmware update that they may have been trying to help with, but made it much worse.
Now, so something interesting that you were pointing out to me that I actually can attest to is false.
Oh, okay.
On the Google speakers, when you go into the Google Home app and say Bluetooth pairing mode, mm-hmm. and then you pair your iPhone with it,
mm-hmm.
I thought, which is what you had told me, that every time you want to Bluetooth connect, you have to do that again. You actually do not. You can just go into your settings and hit, you know, like mine is Xander's room speaker. So I just click on that.
Oh, that'll show up in your recent Bluetooth?
No, on my phone.
In the settings?
I just go under Bluetooth and it shows devices I've already connected to, it will say not connected and I can just go click, instantly connect.
And it'll activate. That's cool. Okay.
That's nice.
Yes.
But that's an entirely different thing. And it's like, I don't want my phone to be controlling it. Which is what's nice about
Because then it's just a Bluetooth speaker.
I have the Google Play Music app.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll log into that and I start casting.
Casting.
And when I do that, and mm-hmm. then I'm like, okay, click this playlist, play, repeat. Awesome. And then I double click and exit out the app.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it will just be like, oh, so you want to finish this song and then we're done because the app's not open anymore.
Right.
But if I am doing that, exit the app, and then go to like YouTube and start playing something while that app is still open, and then double click it out after my phone has played some other audio source,
okay,
it will just keep going.
Oh, interesting.
It's so weird.
Yeah, that is kind of weird.
But if I like cast music, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I don't need it as a remote anymore, stop casting, it will stop. So it's like,
what does Play Music do that's different? Like, Play Music is designed differently.
Play Music just sucks.
I hate the UI of it.
Anytime like I try to like swipe on my screen to go back in a menu, which works on like everything, on this it's like you have to be off of the screen and pull your thumb all the way across the phone for it to work.
I hate
it would be like, oh, you tapped on that, right?
Yeah.
And then just start playing something.
I hate how they handle cover art.
Yeah.
It's they crop it in on everything.
Even desktop.
So like, for those of you who don't know, most album art is a square. That's safe to say. Whether you're on Spotify or Apple Music, album art is a square. When you're in Google Play Music, it will crop it in to whatever the aspect ratio is, of the device you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Even a desktop computer.
Except the desktop pans around. And it's like, if the phones did that, and it was just like, hey, you know, we're going to zoom into this quadrant, and then we're kind of just going to move a little bit. It'd be like, okay, that's different. That's nifty.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not nifty. It just sucks.
Right. Yeah, it just looks weird. I don't like what they did with that. So I don't know. I never use the Play Music app on my iPhone.
Also, there is a nighttime setting in the Google Home app.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
set your speaker, and it will be like, okay, after this certain period of time, make the LED lights a certain brightness and make the max volume a certain volume. And I was like, oh, this is great. Mm-hmm. I can set it to be like, after midnight, make it to where the lights are at the lowest volume possible that I can still see them, but they're not super bright, and make it to where the max volume is 5%. Because when listening to something in an empty room, 5% is like the perfect, I can hear this. And if I want to, I can focus on it. But if not, it can just be background noise and I'll fall asleep.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just, too loud. It's not
sound.
Too quiet.
Yes,
yeah.
It's there.
And it's like, okay, that works. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's set to 5%. I finally get it. I go on my phone and I manually adjust the volume to 5%. And I'm like, great. Okay. And then I go, all right, now I'm going to turn the volume all the way to zero. And I'm going to be like, so this is cool. And I'm because Nick was staying the night. And I was like, Nick. Check this thing out. And I went, Google, set the volume to max. And I was like, it's not going to go all the way. Goes to 100% volume. Super loud.
That overrides it.
Freaked me out.
The
and I
now
was like,
commands.
What the heck? So I change it to 5%. And I go into the settings. And I realize it's not 5% max volume device-wide. It is max volume for the voice. So when it responds to me, the voice can only go to 5%. My media can be louder, but the voice will always only be 5%. And I was like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
I want it like I want it to be everything is 5%.
I love it when you call out to it and it hears the hello Google part, but it doesn't hear the command afterwards because I think Nick was telling me about that. It was like at 100%, and then he goes, and then you said something like, Google, stop! And it just went, like, it was playing, I'm a rebel, just... so it, like, it stops for a second to listen.
That's
but
what
then
I
it's
had
like,
to do. We were sleeping.
You said stop, but I'm going to keep going.
It was at 100%, and I was like, Google, stop. Quiets down, listens to me, keeps going. And then I was like, what the heck?
Has a mind of its own. Yeah. So what's your, like, overall opinion of it now?
My overall opinion of it is, in all honesty, I think we're just getting the bad of it. I think there's something we aren't doing right. Because
I feel like
when
it
worked,
it
worked really, really well.
When it did, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like I always said, the minis are good
things,
under a certain volume. They're fine.
Certain things, like... Earlier, I was able to be like, play this soundtrack. It's like, we got you.
Mm-hmm.
We know exactly what you want. It's like, play this podcast. Turn the lights on. Turn the lights off. It's like, we know what you want. But now it's like...
It feels like we're
maybe
fighting
we're
it
not putting as much emphasis into it. Because when we first got it, I remember we used to be like, okay, we need to emphasize every word so that it understands us. I think we got too casual with it.
Well, I think something with the firmware has to have changed. Because it goes off... for no reason.
This is true.
Way more than it used
to. This is true.
So I'm like, there's something. Maybe it's like we could be using it less. And if it's using it less, maybe like the sensitivity to activating to a voice command goes up. So then anything, if it remotely, even vaguely, 1% kind of sounds like Google, it'll just be like, okay, here I am, just to remind you that it exists.
Maybe.
I don't know if they do that, but it sounds like something Google
might
do.
It has its pros and it has its cons.
The pros is it's cheap.
The pros, that's about it. The pros is it's cheap, and if you want to be able to listen to music softly in the background and still use your phone for other stuff, you can. Honestly, that was the biggest reason I wanted one.
Is that it loaded YouTube and music on a different platform, so that you weren't like loading all of your music and videos on your phone.
Because there were times where it would be like, hey, I want to film something really quick. Even if it's just a quick, you know, 10-second thing to send to a friend.
Sure.
It's like, oh, I want to film this. Let me see. Oh, my music stopped. It's like, well, that was kind of a bummer. Why did it have to stop?
It'd just be a background.
And so now it's, now I won't have that. Mm-hmm. It's just like, for the very small things, really just, if you want to listen to music quietly, you can.
It's basically a little bit better than the speakers on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit, and it's separate.
Now, I wonder if I could, like, set the album to repeat on the speaker and then just never stop it.
Put the mute thing on. Yeah, put the mute
and then
switch.
Be like, when I want to change the volume, just
tap it.
Don't even. It would be so quiet. But, like, if I want to, just be like, click, okay, and click, all right.
Mm-hmm. We might honestly start doing that with all the minis I have.
I might
just
I
be like, let's just vary 5%
just like
volume.
Shuffle the Talos of Music playlist. And
there you
be
go.
Like, you wanted to listen to Ariana
Taylor
Grande?
Swift.
Here you go.
No, every time I say Talos of Tuit, it hears Taylor Swift.
I mean, to be fair, I can totally understand
Well,
why.
Yeah, it's not a word. I get it. But
well, but also, Talos of, it's like, no, Talos of, that's not Taylor. Taylor Swift. Yeah, you know, it sounds like it. It's probably what they meant. Here you go.
Back when
like,
you used
that,
to search Talos of, the most common result was always going to be Taylor Swift.
It's like, in all honesty, like, it's doing a really good job at being like, hey, we heard this thing. It was probably this. Like, that sounds the closest.
It's like, we'll guess.
It's doing a good job at picking out something that sounds close to what you did when you mess up.
Yeah. I mean, the Google Assistant, yeah, I think it's safe to say is the smartest, but all I mean is that's by no means saying something.
It's the smartest, but not on the speakers. Like, on devices, it's fine.
I haven't tried an Alexa, so I don't know.
I've heard that you have to be very, like, do this to it.
Well, Google has the benefit of connecting to all of the services they own, between Play Music and YouTube, whereas Google kind of does that shading thing of not supporting YouTube on the Fire Cast devices anymore, or the Alexa devices no longer can play YouTube videos. And it's like, come on.
I kind of want to get a Chromecast just so I can be like, hey, watch this. And it's like,
here
you go. But at the same time, I kind of don't. Because like, I can kind of do that already on my Xbox with the YouTube app on my phone and just be like, I want to watch this. There you go.
Yeah, didn't you say your Xbox can act as a Chromecast device?
No. It can't act as a Chromecast device, but when I'm in YouTube, well, it might be able to when I'm in YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not in YouTube, my phone, if I'm in the YouTube app and my Xbox is on, will just know that I can connect to my Xbox because I've logged in under my account.
Yeah.
So I can click the connect to TV icon, and it will instantly, no matter what I'm doing on my Xbox, bring up YouTube, load whatever video I wanted to watch, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's kind of nice.
Something that I did recently, actually,
there's
a port that nobody uses on the Xbox, and it is the HDMI in.
The up, not out, people, in. There's a, you can actually plug into it like it is a monitor.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I plugged my Apple TV into that because I got tired of switching inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So I plugged my Apple TV into that. So when I'm on my TV playing Xbox, I can be like, oh, you know what? I want to do something with my Apple TV.
So you're running Xbox OS and TVOS
at the
simultaneously.
Same time.
Yeah.
So what I do is I go to the TV app, which is called OneGuide on the Xbox One, and I click on that, turn my Apple TV on, and it just acts like a pass-through. Almost mm-hmm. like the Elgato works. It's just like, it's a pass-through.
That's kind of cool.
And then when I want to go back to the Xbox, I very simply pick up my controller, press the home button, mm-hmm. and then it's like, quit this.
It also saves you an HDMI port on whatever TV you're using.
Yes.
It's like, now you have an extra one.
Like,
I cut, like,
if I only have one, like, there you go.
We were very confused as to why it had that when it was unveiled. Mm-hmm. It was like, here's your HDMI in and out. And we were like, what? And then, now we're like,
it was
okay,
something
that's
that
a really
I was like,
smart
that's
feature.
Really dumb. I'm never going to use it. And then I was like, you know what? I'll try it. And then I did and was like, actually, I like this.
You're like, I kind of want everything to have this now.
Yeah.
Like, you can embed OSs within other OSs.
It's just, it's really trippy because I will forget that I'm technically still on my Xbox.
Right.
And so I was watching an Achievement Hunter video.
Sure.
And going through, and it was downloading a game at the same time.
Okay.
Which the reason I do that is because when you're using an application on the Xbox while a game is downloading, mm-hmm. it hinders the download speed because it's Correct. Devoting processing power to doing that.
Mm-hmm.
When it just acts as a pass-through, the download speed is at full speed still, or right. very slightly less than full, but still really good.
Sure.
And I'm just using YouTube on the Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching an Achievement Hunter video, and then all of the sudden, I get a pop-up that goes, one of your friends is online.
Yeah.
And I was like...
You get an Xbox alert on your TVOS?
It really confused me because the first thing that happened was a game finished downloading.
Oh,
and I
okay.
was like, oh, okay, that was on their display because that happens sometimes. They'll mm-hmm. be playing and downloading a game while they record.
Yeah,
and then
it'll
just say, hey, this game's ready to download. And I was like, they usually comment on it. Like one of them will be like, hey, this game's done, cool. And mm-hmm. then continue what they were doing. But
and
they didn't. And I was like, oh, that's really weird.
Right.
And then it said, one of your friends is online. And I was like, oh, wait a second. That wasn't them.
That would be trippy. Imagine a Windows alert popping up on a Mac OS.
Yeah.
That'd be like, and you're like, wait, stop. But you could do that with anything, though. If you had like a
computer?
MacBook or Mac Mini, you could have Mac OS that also gets your Xbox notifications.
Yep.
There's an idea.
You could, even if you wanted, plug in a PS4.
Ooh, that's true. You could have PS4 and Xbox
on one.
It won't
work as well.
No?
Because of the latency. There's a very small amount of latency.
Okay.
And for watching TV or, you know, using the Apple TV or whatever, or if you plug in your cable box for mm-hmm. Dish or DirecTV or whatever.
Doesn't matter.
Watching that, you're not going to notice the latency. But mm-hmm. if you're like, oh, I got my PS4 Pro and I'm going to play this, you know, HDR 60 FPS game.
Via my Xbox.
Via my Xbox.
Yeah.
It's not going to work as well. It's going to stutter a little bit.
Yeah.
And you're going to notice that it's not the true what it should be. Yeah.
That's fair.
But like, if you wanted, yeah, you could just like connect a
That's
Mac
interesting.
To it and be like, okay.
And I kind of wish more TV boxes did that now.
Yeah.
That I saw that you could like, save an HDMI port and have one, you know, one device powering both operating systems. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So back to Apple. I was curious because I don't think we've had a podcast since I got my stainless steel
mm-hmm.
Apple Watch, and I was curious of what you thought of it.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. It's very heavy.
It is very heavy. I would be curious. I never tried one on an Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
I always tried on either a color that I wanted in aluminum or
yes.
the edition because I was like, I'm never going to wear the edition. I want to try it on.
The ceramic one, yeah.
Although we took some pictures, as always,
mm-hmm.
and found out that the black Milanese on the white ceramic does indeed look just as beautiful in real life as the
gorgeous.
Pictures you see on Instagram.
Yeah, go to any Apple store. They'll let you try on any combination.
Yep.
You can be like black link bracelet to like $500 band
mm-hmm.
with the $1,400 Apple Watch. And
yep.
they'll be like, okay.
Yep.
They'll
just, you can
just pull
it
out. It.
Yeah.
What's funny is like they, if you try to walk out, they can't stop you. They've talked to us about that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Apple Watch will go off, like start chirping and it'll become useless.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like you can technically walk out with it.
I mean, I feel like, I wonder if they say that. Like, I think they can stop you.
They're not supposed to.
Like,
based on the Apple employee we talked to, they
said physically do anything to you. But I think
they're not allowed to like block you. I don't think, or like grab you. I think is against protocol or something.
I think they might be able to try to like get in front of you and be like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And if you just leave, then it's like, okay, well, but I don't think they can, like, manhandle you and be hey,
I think they said
take that off.
That was left to mall security.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, if something like that happens, we just hit a button and it alerts security and then they run after you.
Yeah.
They, and it's mall security can do
in
stuff.
In a mall, I guess that makes sense, but
I think the public Apple stores that are, like, on the street, I think they have their own security, though.
They probably do, yeah.
Like, their own private guards there. Just, especially on launch days and stuff. But, yeah, I remember when I got the stainless steel just being like, wow, this is noticeably heavier.
It's something that we never tried on.
Mm-hmm. We weren't used to trying it.
We never thought that we ever wanted it.
Yes.
We were always like, it would either be the aluminum or maybe someday the addition. And we were like, we don't like the stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually looks really nice.
And then, well, what part of it was the 10 came out.
This is true.
And it was like, okay, well, now my aluminum Apple Watch isn't matching my iPhone 10 anymore.
Yeah.
So to compensate, well, at the same time, Louise, my girlfriend, also wanted to purchase my old one.
Mm-hmm.
And just so we're clear, audio listeners out there, I could not have bought the new watch unless I sold the old one. Because a lot of people were like, Drew, why didn't you just give it to her?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, first off, I did give her one before. Sadly, she broke it.
Mm-hmm.
And it became unusable. So this is kind of compensation for that, as well as the fact that she was in the market for one anyway. She could have paid full price. Instead, she didn't. She paid like 70% of full price.
Yeah.
And then because she paid me for that, I could afford the new one. If I just gave it to her,
and
I would have no watch.
My girlfriend's the same way,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, hey, do you want this? And she always tries to be like, no, I have to pay you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, can it not just be a gift? But at the same time, I also completely understand the feeling of, even if I'm paying less for this, I'm still paying for it. Like,
yes.
It's still like my
It's more of a thing. Purchase rather than a like, oh, wow, you're dating someone who
yeah.
hands you all these things. And another thing that I can get weird in, because I know it's like, it's very generous and it's very nice, and the people who comment these things on the videos sound like perfect boyfriends, when I'm sure in my situation may not have done that.
Because mm-hmm.
either, one, they don't have the money, or two, would say like, well, I would, but I don't have one.
Yeah.
It's more of something like, you don't want a relationship full of like ties to
yes.
like, we're dating because he gives me all these things,
or
we get along really well because
if something happens, the other person can be like, hey, I gave you all of this.
Yeah,
give
don't,
it back.
Yeah,
you
don't
know.
Use all the gifts as a reasons to like
stay with or
oh,
leave
you're,
or
you're,
whatever.
You're
yeah.
leaving me or you're staying with me just because I'll give you more stuff. Like,
yeah.
That's how we look at it. We don't look at selling tech to our girlfriends as like, I don't know how you do. I'm just speaking. We seem very similar in this regard.
Yeah.
It's just that we want it to be fair, but of course, we're not going to, like, rip you off.
Exactly.
We're going to give you
yeah.
a super good deal.
Well, I mean, even, like, when you sold your Air 1 to me.
Yes.
It was just like a, well, listen, I wanted to get rid of this anyway because I'm going to have no use for it
yeah,
after
I'm not gonna
use
it.
So I might as well give you a good deal because I know you want one type thing, you know.
Right.
Like,
it
works
like,
out that way.
If I'm selling this on Facebook or on eBay or something, I will charge a fairly fair price for it.
Yeah.
But if I'm selling it to someone I know, it's like, okay, I will still have access to it.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to look at it.
So if there's ever a moment where it's like, hey, can I see it again? Or it's like, hey, it would really be nice to have an extra thing for blank,
yes.
you know.
Extra tablet for this purpose. Like, if you know you're selling it to someone you're going to be seeing regularly,
yeah.
it makes sense that you lower the price significantly, which I think I did.
Yeah.
I think I was like, online, I'll sell it for $250, but if you want it, I'll sell it for $2.
Yeah.
And I think
because
that's what
the Air 1 was pretty old at that time already.
That was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was already getting kind of up there. But yeah, so I don't, in regards to all of that, anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, I just don't, like, I
went
hate
off on the life lesson tangent of the Tales of Tech
yes.
podcast.
Yes. Well, it was more of our just, we understand if in your relationship, you give each other things for free.
Yes.
Constantly. That's great. I'm happy for you guys.
And there's times where it's like, yeah, let's do that. And then there's
mm-hmm.
times where it's like, this is going to benefit both of us if it becomes a transaction
yes.
instead of a gift. So
exactly.
You know.
It was like, well, plan A, it was like, well, I could just give you mine and then not have one. But
yeah.
for my job, that would be almost ridiculous. And then the other plan was, well, I want to buy one later. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Which one are you going to get? She was like, 42 millimeter cellular. And it was like, okay, so you were going to have to pay the, you know, when you include the tax and everything, like $460 anyway.
Yeah.
So I might as well, like, lower the price significantly so that you get a good deal. And that, you know, I was thinking of, because I had very, very light scuffing.
Yes.
On my regular aluminum Series 3. I showed it to Louise. I was like, look, hon, I scuffed it. And she was like, where? Mm-hmm. I was like, right there. And she was like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
It was not like a, hon, buy my crappy one. It was like a...
Yeah.
Louise was like, I used the Series 0 that you gave me for like a year. And that was shattered.
Yeah.
Like the glass was broken and I didn't care. I just used it.
Mm-hmm.
So like Louise doesn't have like that super like, I need this to look perfect eye. She's like fine with it as long as it works. And my dad's the same way because he dropped his Series 2, sadly, like not too long after he bought it. But he just put like a bumper case around it and now you can't even tell.
Yeah.
So like they're in the same way in that regard. But I was like, I should have got the Sapphire. Like that was the primary reason I wanted this one, wasn't because of the stainless steel. It was because I knew that in my line of work recently, I've been like bumping into things a lot.
I've been doing it, I've noticed more recently too.
Yeah, and now it's like when you hit like a doorknob or something, or you scrape against a wall, you're like, oh shoot. Like, I noticed that when I was using the aluminum.
If I look in a reflection of light, there are so many tiny micro scratches on my glass.
The aluminum one was like, if you're just looking at it to check the time and use it, you don't really see it.
Yeah.
But it was in that like certain lighting, and as someone who videos their watch a lot, who takes pictures of their
basically,
watch.
Basically, if you walk into an Apple store and check the time, you're going to be like, my God, I can't see anything. Yeah. There's so many scratches.
Right. So when I was looking... and Louise was in the market for one. I was like, okay, you know, I can upgrade, I think, if I can sell the old one.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I can afford the Sapphire, which is very hard to scratch.
Yes.
And so far, I can say, having cleaned it quite a bit and just making sure, I really don't see, like, any of those again, which is very nice. But, yeah, I was... noticeably heavier, and then I got used to it.
Yeah.
And then I think one night we were watching a movie or something, and we both took our watches off, and we were
and
like,
I have the 38 aluminum. And I like, he was like, okay, here, I want you to feel it first. So I felt, and it was like, oh, because I hadn't felt that one yet.
Yes. He hadn't held the stainless steel.
And I
42.
Just, it was such a huge, like,
it's like
oh
a
my.
Night and day.
This is so heavy.
Yeah, which isn't something you think about on a watch.
Yeah.
Because
it makes sense.
Yeah, back when I used the aluminum one, I was just like, well, Apple makes them a little bit thicker every year. But I mean, it's a watch. I mean, you don't pick it up, it's just on you. It's jewelry in a way.
Yeah.
So it's like, you don't care about how heavy it is. But then I put on the stainless steel and I was like, oh, no, that is noticeably heavy. And I was switching from a 42 aluminum to a 42 stainless steel. But for you, someone who's accustomed to 38 aluminum, it was like lightest watch to, I think we looked it up, the heaviest.
The heaviest, yep.
Ceramic. The additions are not as heavy as the stainless steel ones.
Nope.
Which I thought was interesting. I was like, I guess, yeah, that makes sense.
Ceramic is very light, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, actually. When I first used an Apple Watch, it was yours. It was your 42 millimeter Series 0.
That's right.
That you let me
That's
use
right.
because you were testing an Android watch at the time. And
oh,
you said,
yeah. I went full in on the Android. I was
like,
no
this
iPhone.
This is just going to sit here. Why don't you try it out? And I was like, sure, okay. So mm-hmm. I got used to the 42 millimeter.
Right.
And then with a really awesome deal when I upgraded my phone from
really
a 5C
awesome.
To a 6S,
really awesome.
I was able to get the 38 millimeter Series 0 for $50. If I wanted the 42, it was $100.
Which is like a crazy
still
good deal. Yeah.
It was a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was actually a surprise.
Yes.
That it happened. And
that was like a special present you got.
My parents were like, hey, we got you an Apple Watch. And I was like,
oh,
how? Like, no, we were just talking about this a week ago. Like, maybe this would be a really cool birthday present one day, mm-hmm. or I could save up for it. And they were like, that would be a long time. Because, you know, this was, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, this
and
was
so,
back in high school. There.
Yeah, this was back when, like, when you were a kid and money was like, oh, money, sweet. I guess
before
actually
work.
This isn't that different, really. I'm still like, oh, I got paid today, awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it was a very, and then they were like, yeah, we got this really cool deal.
I remember because you texted me the box when you first got it in invisible ink.
Yeah.
The picture. And I was like, I knew exactly what it was before I even like swiped on it.
Uh-huh.
You sent me the invisible ink image and you were like, guess what? And I could just see the white in the invisible ink. And I was like, how?
Yeah.
Like he had been wanting one for a long time, but it was always like one of those maybe someday.
Yeah.
Like maybe. If I can save up enough, because you weren't working back then.
Yeah.
I was just school.
I was working very scarcely.
Yeah, barely.
And it was just like, the money that I have in my mind right now is not focused on saving up for a year and a half to get an Apple Watch. It was like a, I want to get things now because I have money now. Because, like, it was such a small amount. It was like, I would get, like, $80 a month.
Yeah, it was maybe nothing. And then when you sent me that image, I was like, how did... Okay.
How did you get that?
Yeah.
And because I had just recently bought your Air.
Yeah. No, that wasn't too long ago, I guess. You had like an Apple month.
Yeah.
You've like upgraded to the Air and then the Apple Watch.
But going from the 42 to the 38.
It's kind of a shock at first.
It was like, I can't do this. This is way too small.
Yeah, and I remember you saying like, I think we're going to take this back and trade it in for a 42.
Dad got a nylon band one and he wanted the sport band.
Correct.
Because is that what we were doing? We were doing something where we went back to Best Buy. And I was like, well, hey, no, Dad wanted the 42. That's what he wanted.
Oh, and he had the 38.
We all got 38s. Mm-hmm. And Dad was like, actually, I think I want the 42 after seeing Drew's.
A lot of people said that when the watch first came out.
Yeah.
Like, marketing did not advertise really how small the 38 is.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people, I remember specifically, like, iJustine being like, this is tiny. Like, I need that 42 millimeter because this is not going to work.
And then she bought the 38 and was like, what have I done? I remember that video.
It was a perfect example of people being like, that's not what I want. I need this.
But then it's a bigger one.
Yeah. But then, like, Apple's like, no. Try it.
Yeah.
Like, wear it for a while, and now you don't want the 42.
And after wearing both, after wearing yours for a week and then wearing this one, it was like, you know, actually, this fits my wrist better.
Yes.
It fits me more. I'm a smaller person, and it fits my wrist and hand size a lot better than the 42 does.
Yes.
And so I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to keep it. So I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, that's...
And then the main reason now... is just because...
Well, your watch bands.
I have, like, 7 watch bands now. And it's like, that would... Why? Why would I change?
Yeah, that's the issue with commitment with Apple Watches now. It's like, if you've got the 42 bands, you have to get the 42 millimeter on the next cycle. Or if you have 38, exact same thing. Like,
yeah.
My wrists are pretty big.
The 42 fits your arm.
Yes.
And
I'm a larger person.
Our Nick. Has a 42 as well. And it's like... That fits your arm well.
I was going to say, you shouldn't call him Talos of Nick, because the other Nick is also on Talos of Nick.
This is true. Our Nick. Nick Evans.
Nick Evans versus Nick Ansuini, which both of which have 42 millimeters, by the way.
Yeah.
Ansuini, my co-host, who's not with us today, is, I believe, 6'4". So I imagine...
That makes
42
sense.
makes sense. Yeah, he's like a bigger guy, so...
My girlfriend got the 38. And her wrist is smaller than mine.
Yeah, you guys are pretty, I was going to say, similar in size, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, it fits her great. Mm-hmm. Like, a 42 on her would be like, what are you doing, sweetie? Are you okay?
I was going to bring up, because this isn't a rumor or anything, but it was something I asked for a number of years.
Yeah.
I kind of was interested in the idea of a larger than 42 variant.
Yeah.
Like going another, what's the difference? 38 to 42?
That would be 4, so it would be a 46.
A 46 millimeter size. I thought about for a long time, and now I'm kind of like, that would be a little overbearing.
That would be really big.
Yeah, that would be huge. I could see it working for certain people.
It's almost like the iPad mini is a really small iPad.
Yeah.
And the iPhone 7 Plus is a really big iPhone.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you try to... think, hey, what if we used the mini size as an iPhone? It's like, well, that's too big.
Yeah.
But as an iPad, it's too small.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those, like...
I was going to compare it to people who want the 17-inch MacBook.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, someone would buy that.
Yeah.
Someone would be like...
And it is kind of cool. It's like, that's really big.
Yeah.
But I've seen people with 17-inch laptops.
Have you ever used one?
I have not used a 17-inch Pro. I've used a 17-inch... A buddy of mine in high school had a gaming laptop that he would bring to school.
Oh, but gaming laptops are not even laptops.
Well,
they are like,
this is true.
They are like tanks, briefcases.
But like even the screen size, it was like, that's just too big for portable.
Yeah.
Just like the 12.9 Pro. It's like, you think about it and you're like, yeah, this is great. But then like everyday use, taking it places, it's like,
this is almost too big. If you don't have a MacBook. Big.
Yes.
If you don't have a MacBook... 12.9-inch iPad Pro is great.
Yeah.
I will attest to that.
Although
having used
even
one...
even now, like, the 10.5 is almost like, why would you get the 12.9?
I might get one if they give it the 10 treatment.
Mm.
If they... Because I was thinking, like, what I like when I buy a new product and I upgrade my ecosystem is a noticeable change.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I went with 10.5 over 12.9 is, like, well, first of all, I'm used to my MacBook now.
Yeah.
So I don't... Like, originally when I got the 12.9-inch iPad Pro, I didn't have a laptop.
Yeah.
So it was like, this is my mobile editing rig. Yeah. And back then it was great because it was like, I can pair a full-size Bluetooth keyboard to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the virtual keyboard is full-size.
Yeah.
Plenty of multitasking space for editing and for, well, you couldn't edit with that, but for stuff, for all the browsing and stuff. But then, like, 10.5-inch... like looked better because of the slimmer bezels.
It does.
And now I think if this year we see the iPad Pro 10, with no home button and the same size bezel all the way around and Face ID, I probably would go for the 13-inch one opposed to getting another like 10.5-inch because then the upgrade won't be as substantial.
Yeah.
Like it won't be like a, because I have to partially buy depending on what people want to see.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I did 10.5-inch versus new 10.5-inch, while it would be different, it would be, like, pretty close.
Yeah.
Whereas if you were demoing the new iPad Pro 10 and it was in, like, the 13-inch form factor, it would be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
But I remember when we got the 10.5, I think you were around, and we were using it for a while, and we were comparing it and stuff, and I think you had the 2017 iPad at that point. And we were using it, and then we would switch back to the 12.9, and we were like, this is enormous.
Too big.
Like, this is crazy.
It was just, it's one of those, like, once you get a laptop, the iPad, all of the sudden is like, the iPad needs to be smaller.
Almost, yeah.
Because it's like, well, what's the difference now? You know?
Other than the OS.
Yeah.
Like I've said, like... I immediately knew when I got my MacBook Pro that I was like, I don't need both of these. Their form factors are way too similar.
Yes.
The 15-inch is slightly bigger, but pretty much they're the same size. So it made sense to have something that's like, this is portable, this is light, and it can do iOS on a big screen. But also, when I need the powerhouse, I could go to MacBook.
Yes.
Now my ecosystem's getting weird because I'm finally using a desktop again.
And you, like, you don't go... places anymore.
Not really.
We're kind of just like at the studio all the time.
Which is annoying because we have neighbors now.
Like for me, the laptop is fine because I'm at the studio all the time.
Yeah.
But
well,
like,
it was kind of, it's kind of been a frustrating situation because originally I had to go to someone else's house to upload videos.
This is true.
And I had to like take it places in order to do my job.
Yeah.
But then Verizon Unlimited happened and it was like, okay, we don't need it to be mobile now. And then of course Verizon was down throttled, but we moved out right before that, literally weeks, like 2 weeks
that
before they started down throttling. It was like perfect timing, and now it's like, okay, well, you do all your work at the office now, so what is the point in doing everything on a MacBook
when
you could buy something that's stationary, but so much more power for the price.
I was even looking at iMacs just because I was curious. And I was like, you know, for the price that my laptop was...
You can get a really nice iMac.
I could get a really nice... It was like 4K. It was the 21.5. It wasn't the 27-inch.
You'd go with the 4K one? Because I was like, for what you paid for your MacBook, you could get a really decent 5K.
This is true. The
they start below 2000.
The problem I was having is I didn't know if an i5 or an i7 would be better.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like...
Well, you know which is better, but you're saying
yeah,
which
it's
for
like,
your use.
It's like for my use, it's like, do I need the i7 or could mm-hmm. I go with an i5?
Right.
Like, I have an i5 right now, even mm-hmm. on my 13-inch, and it's like that works fine.
But this would be like i5, but better.
Well, yeah, because it would be quad core instead of dual core.
Right.
So that would instantly make it better already.
Be faster. You don't have to worry about battery life. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that transitioning just, back
it was one
to
of
the
those,
desktop.
Like, if
like,
I were
oh.
to get a desktop, mm-hmm. would I want it to be like a, no, this can do everything that I can need it to do?
Yes.
Or it's like a, do I want it to be like a little better than my laptop and it just doesn't move? Like,
yeah, yeah.
It was one of those like, should I spend more? Should I spend less? And then I started thinking, if I get the maxed out 12-inch MacBook,
yeah,
it gives it an i7.
I think it's an M7.
No, the new ones are an i7. I checked.
What?
Yep.
I don't believe you.
Okay. I will
keep going.
Check this
no,
right
no, no, no,
no.
You
is,
you talk about that.
It is an i7, and it,
what's a maxed out 12-inch MacBook?
It was like $50 cheaper than my 13-inch MacBook
oh my God.
Pro.
That's
no,
crazy.
Like, it's
for
bad.
One port, it's bad.
But it just looks so nice, and it's so light.
I mean, there's no fans, so.
It's just, yeah, this
you know,
is true.
Exporting will be, like, very slow.
Well, so, it's a,
oh my God,
it's
you're
a
right.
1.4 gigahertz i7 dual core turbo boost to, like, 3.5, I think.
It says 3.6.
3.6.
Which is kind of like a, what does turbo boost
mean? Well, it's one of those, like.
Well, I think what it means is overclocking. But at the same time, you don't have a fan in the 12-inch MacBook. So it's like, this can do 3.6 gigahertz for a couple minutes. And then it will start getting too hot. So it, like, has to stop.
See, I wonder if it's like a.
Yeah, it's 1950.
1950. Oh, you upgraded the storage. Oh, 1950. Really? Oh,
yeah.
You upgraded the RAM, too.
16
I would
still, gigs of RAM.
I would keep it 8.
It was 16 gigs of RAM, half a terabyte. Okay, if you kept it at 8, which would probably be fine, honestly.
It's 1750.
1750,
yeah. Yep. $50 cheaper than my MacBook Pro. And it was like.
With one port.
With one port.
Oh.
I was debating. It was like, if I could sell my 13-inch, I would very gladly go down to that. Like,
really? I do think it would be a little slower.
Oh, I mean, it probably would, but like.
Even with an i7? But I'm just
but
curious,
I'm only,
honestly.
I only edit. See, I watched your comparison video that you
I
did.
Would be very curious to see, though, like, 12-inch MacBook maxed out, what it can do.
Because, like, RAM I don't need. That's fine.
Yeah, 8 gigs of RAM, you'll be fine.
That's what mine has right now, and
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember when we did the speed test, where we were like, okay, export on this, export on this.
Well, wasn't that it was the base 2017 12-inch MacBook versus mm-hmm. my 15-inch MacBook
yes.
Pro.
And okay. The 15-inch obviously was way faster.
So much faster.
It was like.
It was a, what was it, like a 1080p 60fps video that's 15 minutes exported in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
On mine. And then on the 12-inch, exported in like 35 minutes.
Yeah.
It was something
but
bad.
But then yours is a quad core, not a dual core.
True.
And some yours yours was an i7, isn't it? Your 15-inch
yeah.
is an i7.
It's a 2.6 i7.
And it's a 2.6 turbo boost to like 4.1, I think, isn't it?
No, I don't think it went to 4. It was in the 3s. Yeah.
Okay.
It was in
but
the
like, you think of that, it's like i7 quad core.
Mm-hmm.
Can trick the computer into thinking
there's
eight core.
Yeah.
So automatically that makes it go way faster.
Definitely.
And it was the default 2017.
Yeah, that
MacBook.
Was the bottom of the line one,
which and that's and
it I've, edited 4K stuff fine.
It edited it just fine. Yeah,
there weren't
the
frame
problem
drops.
Was exporting.
Yeah, exporting's when you bottleneck on a 12-inch. It's
mm-hmm.
like.
But I think if you got the maxed out processor, I think
I'd
it would
be very
work.
Curious to compare.
I know. I want to. There's only one way to find this out.
We could look it up, but I mean, like,
yeah.
There's not a lot of people who do that.
No.
I guess
not.
There's probably is. We haven't looked very hard, but at the same time, yeah. I would
get
be really.
The quack clock adapter because
yeah.
That can handle every port being filled up.
That's true. And you'd still have a USB-C.
And I'd still have a USB-C. Like, I could do it. It would work.
What's interesting now, I don't know if you knew this, you cannot get my MacBook Pro anymore.
You can't get mine either.
Oh, really? Yours is gone?
Mine's the 2016, yeah.
No, I mean, like, not that CPU. I mean that price.
Oh.
Like, can't... Because you can still get a 13-inch MacBook Pro in that price range.
1800, yeah.
When, if you remember, when I got my 15-inch, the
wasn't it like base 25? One
was... No, it was two.
Two, okay.
It's 2000 for the baseline 15-inch MacBook Pro. Like, yeah. No added storage or CPU or RAM or anything. Just the baseline.
I would definitely get 512 with the 12-inch, because it's like, yeah. I can't not...
I really regret going 256. Like, that was a last-minute like decision.
Like, a terabyte would be awesome, but even 512 would be better.
Like, 512, honestly, I think you'd be fine with.
I would be, oh, you could I do, would be okay.
You could do plenty of editing on. And
then be like, okay, now I need to get rid of stuff.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, okay, I edited and exported one video. Now it's time to wipe my hard drive again.
I literally was doing that. Like, yeah. Before the iMac Pro, I could edit a video, and then I would have to plug in the external hard drive. It was bad.
I couldn't even export it to my hard drive. I would have to export it to an external drive.
Oh, God.
It was like, it was that bad.
Well, yeah, it was Windows 10. Boot mm-hmm. camping, but now true. What I've realized, I went back to the Apple store recently to check.
Yeah,
my price MacBook is no longer there. If you want a 15-inch MacBook Pro, it starts at 24 now. Like, they ditched that base one that did the... It wasn't a bad spec'd out one. Like, mine still is working great.
It works fine, yeah.
It was 16 gigs of RAM, which uh-huh. was nice. It had the dedicated Radeon Pro graphics. It was like a 450 or... something.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it was a 2.8 gigahertz with quad core up to 3.8, yeah, or 3.6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still doing fine. Like, it's great for editing vlogs and stuff. That's yeah. about all I'll do on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was surprised to find out that when they refreshed
them. Editing vlogs on a desktop just feels so intense. It's like, okay, it's time to sit down and edit this thing.
It's like, this is like... So much faster, though. Like, I got so used to editing on an iPad Pro,
mm-hmm.
but then I switched back to the Mac, and I was like, okay, you know, it is a lot faster.
Yeah, editing vlogs. Because I remember you and I used to be like, there's no point to edit vlogs on the desktop.
Yeah,
and
we can use our
okay,
iPad.
Okay, actually.
Yeah, really, but then nice. It's like, a mouse is pretty handy. It's mm-hmm. hard to deny that. And now, of course, with iMac Pro, it's like,
even if you just edited with, even if you just edited with iMovie on the desktop, it would still be easier.
Yeah, but iMovie on desktop. Is improved. Weird.
It it's has like improved. Final Cut, but less.
It's it's very bizarre, though, because it's like every clip is the same size.
Yeah, that is the one thing I do not like about it.
The mobile iMovie isn't even like that.
No,
if a timeline is 20 seconds, yeah. But like desktop iMovie is just weird.
Desktop iMovie is very weird.
I don't like it. That used to be all there was, I remember, mm-hmm. growing up. And that was pretty advanced. Back then, like, yeah, there was a
mobile
lot of...
iMovie is like the best mobile editor, like, yeah. that I've used because it consistently works. Mm-hmm. There's others that are out there that I've used, and it's like, hey, this is nifty, like, but it doesn't consistently.
Sometime you should try LumaFusion, it's
that
interesting.
Was like the $20 one, right?
Yeah, like, I still have it, I haven't used it for much, but someone I believe donated and said, try this, and mm-hmm. I was like, wow. It surprised me because it was like the premiere of iOS, Adobe oh. Premiere. Like, it almost looks like it, too. But what I was most impressed by is, like, first of all, the timeline. You can do overlays. You can do the text stuff.
Wow.
Importing music from iCloud Drive or Google Drive or mm-hmm. all those external things. So it's like, okay, you got the iMovie bit down. And then on top of that, when it was like, okay, time to share, they gave you bitrate options
oh.
when exporting, which is something iMovie doesn't do. Uh-huh. For those of you who don't know, it's just like the size of the file. Because iMovie's like, we're on an iPad, we need to...
Even desktop iMovie is like, oh, you want to export? Okay, do you want it to be high quality, medium quality, low quality, and what resolution?
Yeah, and it will compress it because yeah. it doesn't want to take up too much file space.
Uh-huh.
With LumaFusion, it was like, if you want this file to be huge, we'll do it. Like, we'll take the extra time to export, but we will make, like, a 100 megabit video file.
Wow.
And it did it. And I was like, okay, now that's pretty nice. At the time, I had the Mac already, so mm-hmm. I was like, well, I'm not ditching Premiere or Final Cut because those are still better.
But. I remember the first time we exported with Final Cut, and we went to, like, the highest option because we were like, well, this is the default, so obviously we want this, right? Mm-hmm. And it was, like, 200 gigs
yeah.
or whatever.
The ProRes
for the
format.
Apple ProRes,
mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I just want H.264, please.
Yeah.
I want whatever my Premiere setup was in this.
I remember the first time we exported in Final Cut, it was like, is it supposed to be that fast? Like, did we hit export? Is that what that means?
We thought we messed up and, like, got the resolution really low.
Because it was exporting so quickly. And we were like, something's not right.
And I remember we were really excited about having Compressor. Because Compressor could make your own formats. And you could be like, I want this bit rate every time. And it would just create a preset in Final Cut for you to export with.
Right.
But, like, Compressor is so complicated.
Yeah. No, it literally ruins, like, the fluidity of Final Cut, because Final Cut is mostly pretty logical.
Yeah.
But then go to Compressor, it's like, what are you talking about?
The nice thing is, if you get it right, you only have to use Compressor once.
That's true.
Because you get your stuff and you're like, okay, that's all I needed. But you have to, like, test. You have to be like, okay, I want to export this, and oh, that didn't turn out well. Okay, let me try it. Yeah. And that didn't work.
And I mean, the built-in options in Final Cut exporting are so fine.
If you go H.264 and you just choose like the high quality option,
it'll work.
There you go.
Yeah, it's efficient and it works. I'm kind of waiting for us to be available to export H.265.
Yeah.
I'm curious, but I think they're like, well, nothing supports that, so we're not going to let you. I get that. And it's still frustrating because if you film in that format on your phone and AirDrop to your Mac, it has to basically rewrite the whole file.
The first time I airdropped something with the new format that was a large file, because I used my phone as a face cam for a gaming video, and I was like, okay, time to send this to my MacBook. So I shared it, and my phone got all the way, and then my phone finished, but my MacBook was still at 3/4.
Yep, remake it.
I was very confused. I was like, what happened? Usually it's like it's the same and it's seamless. And then my MacBook fans kicked on.
Yeah.
And it started getting really, really loud and really hot. And I was like, what did I do? What happened? And then the thing finished, and then it cooled down and the fan stopped. And I was like, what the heck just happened here? And then you told me, you were like, it has to be
loaded. Yeah, I remember you telling me.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I very quickly figured that out because I updated my phone.
It doesn't tell you that. It just says receiving. If it said receiving and then it gets to a point and then it said converting, it would be like, okay.
Well, actually, they used to convert it on the phone.
This is true.
First, if you recall, in the old days when you would AirDrop with the iOS 11 beta or whatever, it would be like, oh, you're sending this to a Mac. I have to convert it first.
Yeah.
And it would take a good long while because the phone had to re-export the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then send it. But then Apple was smart and they were like, well, wait a second. The CPUs and stuff in the Mac are way faster than the phone. So we'll convert it afterwards, not before. So that's what they're doing right now. Obviously, I'm hoping for the day when the Mac will just support that.
Yeah.
And you won't have to.
Even if it supports it and then Final Cut exports in H.264, that would be fine.
Yeah.
I would be so okay with that.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a weird stage right now. That's like, we figured out this new format that does everything.
Final Cut supports. I think Final Cut supports it. I don't think macOS supports it.
Yeah. It's something like you can edit it, but you can't export it.
Yeah. It's really weird.
It's kind of bizarre like that, but I don't know if the people listening understand this, but these are the regular conversations we have.
So H.264 is the equivalent of a Blu-ray disc. It is. Okay. No, that's what Blu-ray uses. Blu-ray uses H.264. That's the quality. So imagine a Blu-ray disc, and it's like, this is really nice, this is crisp, this is good. That's H.264 in 1080.
Okay.
A DVD, I don't remember what the DVD resolution is.
It's like 480.
A DVD resolution is 480. I don't remember what the file for that is. Because
it's not MP4.
It might be MP4.
That sounds right.
So on the Xbox One, a really nifty feature that the DVD player application has is if I click in one of the joysticks on my Xbox, it shows me the info. It tells me how quickly it's reading the disc. Like, it was
the Stats for Nerds button?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, they kind of do that.
It showed me how quickly the disc was being read, how much space we had gotten into the disc versus how much space was left.
For people
not time code, like, it was in, like, megabits. And it was like, also, here's the frame rate and your resolution and the format that this is in. It said 1080, 30 frames per, or no, it wasn't 30, it was 24. Yeah. It was 23 or 24 point, mm-hmm. or whatever that resolution is, mm-hmm. 23.94 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and then it said H.264. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I didn't need to know that, but thank you. So then I was curious, and I put in a DVD and looked at it all, and everything was way lower. And I was like,
yeah.
Wow, that's kind of cool to be like.
No, I mean, when I knew, when they redid the DVD, it was like, these are HD now, and HD was 720 and up.
Yeah.
So that was the HD DVD and Blu-ray revolution. But what I was annoyed by was they were specifically making the Blu-ray digital files better than the online ones. So everyone who was buying Blu-ray was like, it looks better than a digital download.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're right, but they're making it that way because selling a Blu-ray means that all the DVD factories can stay in business.
Whereas, and now, the only reason whenever I buy a physical movie, I buy Blu-ray is because usually it's like, hey, you get the Blu-ray, the DVD, and an iTunes digital copy for $3 more than the regular DVD. It's like, well, why not?
And like, I've always been like, you film these movies at 5K and up, you should just let them on the digital store for, you know, the same resolution.
Yeah.
We have 5K monitors.
Like, I got my dad Spider-Man Homecoming for Christmas.
Oh.
A lot of times what annoys me about Blu-ray is they come with the digital copy, but it's not iTunes.
It's this weird
third party. It's the Vudu app.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, you can watch it here.
Mm-hmm.
And
that just gets weird.
That's why I bought Mad Max on Blu-ray for $10.
Mm-hmm.
It was on sale, and I was like, oh, I can get this for $10. Why not? Or no, it was $6. It was $6 that I got it for. Mm-hmm. And it was on Blu-ray, and it came with the digital copy, but it was like the Walmart, you know, Vudu app digital copy. And I was like, oh, okay. And I used it, and I was like, I don't like this user interface.
Yeah, they're weird.
For the sole like purpose of not liking this user interface, I spent $15 on the iTunes store, and I bought it.
The 4K one now.
This is true.
Which, it's like, well, now finally they're upscaling the digital download resolution, which they could have done this whole time.
Yeah.
But chose not to for some reason. But
also found out that the version I bought on iTunes is the black and chrome version. So
well, it's both. You get both.
It's both, yes.
But you can watch it either way.
Wasn't expecting that.
I mean, it's very easy to make.
Yeah.
It's like, literally turn this movie black and white, add that on the box.
It's so simple. But, like, we started watching Mad Max in the black and white version. It was like, actually,
yeah, this is
kind of cool. Like, Logan Noir was nifty, but it felt too HD.
Yeah, it was like
too Mad Max was very gritty because it's a very gritty movie.
Yeah, it was very gritty. But grainy. When you
convert it to black and white, it's like, hey.
Well, especially because they speed up a lot of that movie.
This is true.
So it kind of gives off it that old. It feels like movie. That
old. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Really cool.
Yeah, I liked watching it that way. But anyway, we've come up on our hour.
Oh.
So that was fast. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I can't even remember what we just talked about, but
honestly,
it was related to tech. But yeah, basically, maybe before we wrap it up, we should address some of the comments we get on Twitter, because I want people to know that if you follow us on @TalosofCast, you can ask questions that you'd like us to talk about on here. So maybe before we completely wrap it up, we can address these. As the tech channel grows into the millions, do you think you will have less of a bias towards Apple? Asked by Justin Taburin. And I'd like to say no.
And I don't think you will.
You and know me very well. Even me
not being the tech channel, I won't. If you grow into the millions, Drew, I won't be unbiased. So
okay.
I'm just letting you know that.
I think it's fair to say that, if anything, we have learned as a tech channel that being biased helps. Is what gets us where we're going.
Yeah.
I was unbiased when I first started the tech channel. I tried to be middle ground. I tried to use Android and iOS, and I tried to do the PC and Mac thing, and only realized I was right in the long run. So what I can say is that the reason we're getting popular is because we're controversial.
Yes.
So Marquez talked about in our collab how when you get larger, there's more of a pull to be more middle ground. I think he got famous because he was very respectful and middle ground, and
it works for him. It works.
Yeah, for him, it's perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, when he starts to show bias, it almost gets weird.
Yeah.
Because when he's like, "I like the Pixel because I care about these things," we're kind of like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Marcus, like, we're used to him being very neutral and everything. Whereas my shtick, the reason Tech is growing, Talos of Tech, is getting all these subs is because, for one, we're captivating that Apple sheep audience that doesn't really feel represented. And two, we get a lot of clicks from people who don't agree.
Yes.
Which means that, no, I don't think as we get bigger, we'll become less biased.
If anything, we'll get more biased.
Yeah, if anything, we might get even less logical. Some people were saying, like, I miss the old days when you had your own opinions. Now you just, like, do what Marquez does. And I was like, have you seen our videos?
Like,
we are so different on opinions.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we may copy the format or something with, like, hashtag Ask Talos or whatever. But, like, it's because it's an easy-to-do thing.
Yeah.
But opinion-wise and video style-wise, very, very different just the way we talk. But, yeah, I thought that was a good question.
It is.
What did you think? I don't know if you heard about this, but Apple investors who had about $2 billion invested asked Apple to add more parental controls in iOS to help limit childhood phone addiction.
Okay.
Do you think that's a problem, children being addicted to iPhones?
I am going to very honestly speak as someone who has had those restrictions on my phone.
Yeah, I was going to say, you of all people know this. I've never had restrictions on my phone, but you had them for years.
If you are trying to... So, if you are wanting to give your child a phone, but make sure that it is restricted, I will say... Right now, if you go, like, all in on them, because there was a point where the restrictions were lenient, and mm-hmm. then there was a point where I did things, and the restrictions became much less lenient.
right.
It used to be there was no App Store, there was no Safari. It just removes those icons, right?
Turns it into an iPod.
But... If you had the App Store, you know, it's like, hey, I want to get this app. It's like, okay, parents type in the code, they do that, you get the app, whatever. Sure. Cool. Most of the time, that's fine. With certain apps, like Twitter, for instance. On Twitter,
they
allowed me to have Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want me watching YouTube or browsing the internet. But on Twitter, there are links in people's profiles. And because Twitter opens links in-app and does and uses its in-app browser and not Safari... You can open those links.
Right.
So I could just go google.com, or I could go to Google's Twitter page and then click on the link in their bio, and it would take me to google.com or to YouTube or whatever, and then I could just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to download apps, but I could still watch videos. I could look things up. I could do all of that.
Hmm.
But that's because Safari was set to allow all websites.
Oh.
If you set Safari to allow only websites that are approved by the person creating the parental controls... No matter what app you are using with whatever in-app browser, it will block it. Huh. No matter what.
And yeah, what I was thinking on this matter is that, like, I get that. I agree that children are getting addicted to these phones as there's so much to do on them and there's such an easy escape. I think that's a problem. I don't think that's Apple's fault.
No, that's not Apple's
fault. I'm not saying that it's on Apple to fix that. Because parental controls are not immediately turned on.
You can set a parental control to the max volume on your iPhone. You can say you can't go above halfway, and it just won't.
But they don't automatically activate. No. A parent has to activate them.
Yes.
And in a similar way, I would say a parent has to enact certain rules and times on their kid. It is not like, well, Apple, we're going to pull our investments because kids are addicted to smartphones. It's like... That's not Apple's fault. That's on the parent. That's not something Apple can enforce. A phone can't be like, this is a kid, locked down. Like, there's no way it can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if a parent wants the phone to be completely unlocked, they should have that freedom if they want to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I think it should, but if they want to, they should have that freedom.
I will say, restriction-wise, the MacBook or any macOS device... of any Apple device is by far the most restrictive if you want it to be. You can set it to where that computer will not allow you to log in until a certain time.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you log in, you can set it to where no matter when you log in, once you're able to, so let's say you set it to 9 to 5. You can't log in before 9 o'clock and you can't log in after 5 o'clock. Whenever you log in between those 8 hours, you can set it to where you only have 4 hours. And it will just lock down and not be able to be used again until an admin comes over and types in the administrative password. You can do stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. It is. You can make it to where, like on the iPhone, you can only visit certain websites. You can only do this. You can't download applications from the internet or the app store.
So you're saying that, like, the controls are already extremely heavy. Like, they don't need to be more extensive.
They don't need to be more. If anything, the one thing that the iPhone that I know of, unless it's been changed since I've had them removed, but that I know of, the one thing that the iPhone does not have is a, you cannot turn this on before this time, and you cannot turn it on after this time.
Yeah.
Other than that, which, on an iPhone versus a MacBook or a laptop or iMac, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, the kid gets home from school and goes and sits at the family computer and, oh, his account can't be used for this time. So now it's like, hey, you had your computer time. Go do something else. You know, it's like the computer automatically, because there's times where parents will be like, hey, you get to use your, you know, whatever for 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 5 hours later, they're like, oh, shoot, I got distracted.
Right.
So, like, this way on the computer, it's just like, nope. It's,
yeah, you
it's,
can't.
It's been 3 hours. You're done. But, like, on the iPhone, I feel like that would ruin the iPhone. There would be no point to it being an iPhone. You might as well buy your kid a laptop because, like, if it's like, oh, you can use your iPhone for between the hours of 9 and 5, but only for 3 hours.
Right.
It's like, yeah. Well, that kind of ruins the point of it being itself.
Right, right. Yeah. Now, another question here we got from Twitter from Justin was asking about possible Apple Pencil 2 features. I don't know if you had any.
I mean, it works.
My only change would be the pairing process. I would say that I think there's probably a better way to charge it than the lightning port on the end.
Yeah.
It made sense at the introduction, but I think that now that we're working on the inductive charging now, and that's getting better, and now Apple's making it so that your AirPods and watch can be wirelessly charged.
Like, the thing is, like, the Apple Pencil is like that very nice plastic material, except for the metal ring that says Apple Pencil. If that entire ring was a wireless charging receiver...
I don't know if it's difficult because of how thin it is and it's a cylinder.
Yeah.
So that might mess with the wireless charging thing. I just think whatever the method is, there's probably a better way to do it. And I wouldn't... I think a problem that we've even noticed when they're using them in Apple stores is that the cap is so easily lost.
This is true.
That when they're using Apple Pencils for a workshop or something in a class, they'll just take them all off.
Because they're like, these are going to get lost or stolen. Because it's not attached. You can just take it off.
Yeah. So I was going to say either make that cap not come off and just make it like flip open. Or like I said, if you can figure out the wireless charging thing, don't have a cap. At all. It's stuck there. And then when you need to charge it, use those little, like, Apple Pencil holder things that, what is it? Those little Apple Pencil holder things that they have at the Apple stores. That there's a little boat thing they rest in. We were like, that's cool. Why don't they sell that?
Make it to where a certain, like, side of the pencil, even though it's all circular, make it to where, like, there's a magnetic strip running down part of it to where it's, like, almost in like a hexagonal pattern to where in one part there is a magnet that will wirelessly charge. So when you set it in this little boat dock, it will just be like, and we're rolling in, we're going to set, oh, we need to flip, and it will just move because it can. Do that. That would work.
Yeah, obviously make more colors if you can.
That'd be nice.
One is never enough.
Space gray and black.
Yeah,
like, that'd be perfect. If that's all you did.
Or just one to match every iPad color would make sense. And also... one idea I had was maybe they could work on the other end of it and make it like how an AirPod charges. You know, it's like a really long stem and just the end of it just kind of rests into pins. Maybe embed that into like a pencil case.
Yeah.
And be like, now the Apple Pencil 2 costs a little bit more, but it comes with an included case.
Yeah.
And anytime it's in that case, it charges kind of like AirPods.
Yeah. So that would be nice.
I was like, that's one method that might.
That's also the other problem with the Pencil, mm-hmm. is it's like it doesn't have any protection unless you buy it.
Yes. Well,
those little Apple Pencil sleeves that you can buy, the leather ones,
mm-hmm.
those are cool, except they're leather. That's like the one problem I have with them.
Yeah.
If I could get them out of like the nice silicone? Apple silicon material,
yeah,
that would be really nice.
Mm-hmm. No, that's basically all our ideas for the Apple Pencil are fixing all of the complaints about how it charges. That's about it. Don't use a quadruple A battery.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
That is really dumb. Gonna be honest.
And then Levin on Twitter asks, how long will Tim Cook be CEO of Apple? Will he quit his job over investor kickback? And I gotta say, I have no idea how long. He's been at Apple for a long, long time, but yeah. I honestly think he's doing a good job.
I like the stuff.
Since Steve Jobs has stepped down, I think they're running Apple exactly how Steve would have run it.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many things Apple's done that Steve would not have been okay with. Very few things here and there, but other than that, no, I think they really captured that idea that Apple set out to accomplish, and I think Tim got it.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. I like the new things that come out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they were getting rid of old things that was like, yeah, you know, actually, that was dumb. Like
yeah.
The MacBook Air.
Well, it's still kind of there.
I know.
But Tim's like...
It's annoying.
Tim's like, shh, stop. Because it's like, if you absolutely need a MacBook Air... Don't buy it from Apple.
No.
Get a refurbished one from some site that will give it to you for like $400, $500. Whereas the people who spend $900, because you can't get the 13-inch one, right?
No, you can. You can't get the 11 anymore.
Oh, the 11 is gone.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I was like, I don't know why it's there at all, but...
Yeah. It's very dumb.
Yeah, no, Tim Cook, and I think, like, consider Apple made... bigger phones after Steve left.
Yeah.
It's like, we like that, you know, keep going that way. So that wraps up the podcast, everyone. Thanks for listening today. Let us know any thoughts or feedback on the podcast at Talos of Cast on Twitter. And go ahead and plug yourself in case they forgot again.
You can go ahead and check out, if you're curious, any of my stuff on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Land of Whispers. It's mm-hmm. the same for all of them. So if you have those questions, which people do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Someone
was like, so, like, in the Discord,
mm-hmm.
my name is Land of Whispers. And they mm-hmm. were like, what's your Twitter name? It's like, no, I'm look. Not going to tell you. Just look at my username. Figure it out.
I'm telling people. I was like, follow me on Twitter. And then they would ask, like, what are you on Twitter? I was like, please. I am trying to be respectful and say that you are a knowledgeable human being that can deduct that if his username is Talos of Tech, that it might be that on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just an idea.
If my username and profile picture say Land of Whispers, just maybe.
I just wish people would check first.
Yeah.
If it was for some reason different, which by the way, it never should be. You should never be like Talos of Tech on YouTube and then your Apple Sheep on Twitter. Like that would be very confusing.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons I went with Talos of is I was like, when I make the account usernames, it will be free.
Yep.
I know it'll be there.
Yes.
And it still is. So. Anyway, thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next week after Project 2X.
Oh, man.
Has been unveiled.
It's very soon.
Very soon for us. We're filming this on a Friday evening. And I believe...
When this comes out for you guys, it will be so close.
It'll be like 2 days when you guys hear this. So
it's going to be so relieving.
Should we give them a hint as we're
closing? I think we should give them the last big hint. I don't know what that last big hint is, but we should give it to them. We should
the
think
last
of one.
Big hint. So for you audio listeners who have made it all the way. How far into this are we? An hour 30 in. You get the exclusive hint. Keep it to yourself.
Okay.
Try not to post this elsewhere. And I'm going to end it right after we drop the hint. This was recorded in Project 2X.